We are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who has come in flesh. And our purpose these Thursdays is to study how to study that Word of God. So today, in our hermeneutics class, welcome to such. All right, mechanic. Number 5. Give due consideration. To the historical, cultural context Here's what we mean by that. There are relevant things going on in the backdrop, that is the historical backdrop of the scripture, sometimes the cultural backdrop of the scripture, that are relevant to our interpreting the scripture itself, and to try to make that even more understandable. Certain things are understood and known by those who would read this at the time that it is written that may not be readily known by you or I in a different culture, in a different place, at a different time or different point in history. Remember my this deals with idiom, but do you remember my example to you of Kevin talking about in India about this is a cliffhanger? That is something that's known. Now, that's more literary. That's more linguistic. It's more dealing with language. But that was something that was known to a given group of people at a certain place at a certain time. That group of people being those alive at a certain place, the United States of America, at a certain time, late 20th century. And so he spoke what was very natural for him. Sorry about the cold, by the way. Didn't turn the heat on early enough as I look at Donna with her muffed hands and that cold-looking position there. It was known to a certain people at a certain time, and what was very natural to Kevin to talk about that was absolutely unknown. Just no comprehension at all what he's talking about to Indian believers in the same time, but the place made all the difference now. Now here we're dealing with time and largely place, but much farther removed than that. The time, the earliest time that we can be talking about is the first century AD. We are now 20 centuries removed from that. Has anything changed in history or in the way people thought or in some of the enforce, say, laws of that time? Or was there anything that was not understood then that's understood now? Is there any cultural difference? And here you have a number of cultures kind of converging here. Ours is American, Western, 21st century. By the way, there's a word for Western. It's Occidental. So ours is an Occidental culture. The opposite of Occidental is Oriental. And so this is what we call Near Eastern. Oriental means Eastern. Far Eastern, you're talking about China, Korea, Japan, cultures like that. But Near Eastern, you're talking about Syria, Lebanon, Israel. More would be included in each of those than just the ones I've mentioned, but those are examples. So it was we have an Occidental culture late in time. Theirs was an Oriental, near Oriental culture in the first century. And if we're talking about Job or Genesis, well, now you're really pushing it. You're talking about, say, in the days of Abraham, that's around 2200 B.C. If we're talking about the Exodus, or when those things about Abraham were committed to writing, I'm talking about 1445 and 1446 B.C. The things that Genesis is talking about, though, what it's writing down, goes back to 7,000 years ago, almost, and the beginning of the world. There are going to be historical differences that the people who write and the ones who initially read are going to understand in a second. It's going to be second nature to them. It's going to be very natural to them to understand exactly what we're talking about. But for us, we've got to bridge this gap here. All right, and we've got a number of situations that we have to look at there. What was the culture of, say, the New Testament, because it's more complicated? Well, you had Hebrew culture that reached back to the earliest times that the Scripture's talking about and was influenced by some of that. But it had taken a shape, it had taken a form that you couldn't say, this is 15th century Jewry, like in the days of the Exodus or the conquest of Joshua. The Jewish culture of the time of the New Testament, very different from the Jewish culture of Moses or before, and even more different from our time and our culture. But in the New Testament, you had that ancient Hebrew influence, but you also had a newer Hebrew culture. And that culture was influenced by Hellenism, which is, Hellenism means Greekizing. When Alexander took over the world that would include Israel at the time, he forced Greek culture, to some extent, the Greek language at least, upon all the places that he conquered. But then Rome conquered Greece. Now you've got things coming together in the New Testament that are Greco-Roman with Hebrew flavor sprinkled in there. And beyond it, God's culture, that is what we really want to access. Well, we're not Greeks, and we're not Romans, and we're not Hebrews. We are part of God's culture. But we're trying to get God's culture out of that book. We can think like a very Western, Occidental Americans of the 21st century. You just go into that and read that without knowledge of some of these historical / cultural or cultural - historical issues at hand, you're not going to understand what it's talking about. You might think you do. But there are going to be things in here. And this is, out of all of the mechanics, I would say this is maybe the least important. But it's very important in certain places. So let's look at some of our situations that we're going to deal with. We're going to talk about four. All right? So four situations. This should cover all of the kind of categories that this historical cultural context thing is going to deal with. All right, here's one. Sometimes this history and culture, is explicitly stated in the context itself. Now, probably when I give you an example of this, EX example, when I give you an example of this, you'll probably know it. Like, you'll think, oh yeah, I understand that already. You've gotten this from the scripture. I'm going to use blue here to be our verse references. Example for this is going to be Luke. At least one example. It's just an example. Luke 27. I'm sorry, 20, 27. This FF means in following. All right, and what follows. Not immediately following, but it follows. And Acts, both authored by the same person, 23, that's chapter 23, 6 through 9. Let's look at these as an example of how sometimes this historical cultural context is explicitly stated in the text. Luke 20, then verse 27 and following. But having approached some of the Sadducees, who speak against there being a resurrection, interrogated him, saying, and then there's going to be this resurrection issue that they're dealing with. Now, what's a Sadducee? That's a question that doesn't have to be asked in first century Israel when you're dealing with these things. Everybody knows what the Sadducees are. What's a Pharisee? If you read the New Testament, if you've read the New Testament, especially if you've read it a number of times, you get an idea about what a Pharisee is, but you're getting that from like the fullness of everything that you're reading, say, from Matthew through Acts, and a reference maybe in Philippians where Paul says that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That reference doesn't really help you much in determining what a Pharisee is. But what's a Pharisee? That's a question that doesn't have to be asked in first century Israel. Everybody knows what a Pharisee is. What's a Sadducee? And those are the people that are in question here. Pharisees were a group of religious people. I think most of you know this. Religious specialists. They were, I guess you would call them, likened today to what we'd call a theologian. And they were the conservative branch of the theological spectrum of their day. They believed in such things as resurrection, unlike the Sadducees. They were more religious. The Sadducees were also theologians, we might say, but they were more political. And they were liberal. They really didn't believe the Bible. If the Bible said it, that wasn't the end of the question to them. All right? So, you know, what you encounter here, Jerome, modern-day Sadducees in your classes today. Pharisees were different. But what's a Sadducee? Well, sometimes, like here, this historical and cultural connection is told you right up front, like that one. You're told something, in other words, about these Sadducees that everybody at that time and in that culture knows. But you don't know that. So you're told it, though, right within the text. Let's look at the other one. Acts 23, verses 6 through 9. This is when Paul is on trial. So Paul, having known that the one part was of Sadducees, but the other of Pharisees, he was crying out in the council, "Men, brothers, I am a Pharisee, son of Pharisees."